Okay, Ron, thank you so much, and it's good to be here. A little chilly.
Yes, cool them off.
Gonna get down to about 12 degrees in the morning, maybe a little less with a little wind. So I've been kind of buttoning up my house a little tighter than normal. I've been getting in some wood and leaving water dripping, and I've got one more heater that I can turn on, but I haven't done that yet. But when I left, Ronnie's given me an outdoor-indoor thermometer, and the indoor thermometer said, I believe it said 49 degrees on the outside and 75 degrees on the inside. So I'm pretty good.
That's a good spread there.
So, we're getting there. And, turn back with me to John 6. You know, the book of, Luke and John early on, you know, depicted Christ, and Luke kind of went through the situation of Christ up to the point where Christ picked his disciples. And he sent them out two by two. But he told them not to go into the Samaritans, not to go to the Samaritans. But he was at Samaria. And the lady came out to the well of Jacob's well that he gave to his son, Joseph. And he didn't have no water to drink, but he was waiting on his disciples to come back from town with food. And so the lady came up, and the woman came up, and she had her bucket and her rope to go down in the well, you know, to run the bucket down in the well and pull it up. And he asked her for a drink of water. Evidently, it's pretty warm. And they started talking a little bit. And that's not the usual thing when a Jewish man meets a Jewish woman that they don't know, you know, or haven't been introduced and all this to, so he asked her for a drink of water. And so she said, well, why are you here without a way to get it? And he said, well, I'm waiting. But he said, I have the living water that if you drank of this living water,
never thirst again.
That's what you're really looking for anyway. So then the conversation got started. And in the course of back and forth, he wound up telling her everything she had ever done. And she said, well, I perceive you're a prophet or a teacher or whatever, you know. He said, well, if you understood the living water thing, then you would have known who I was. Like how this is written of me about the living water. Well, we've got by that, and we've passed that, and we've got down to where they fed the multitude the first time. And so the movement for the scenario here is in John, and it was where that John went back Jesus went back and gathered up his disciples again, and they went back together as a group to all the towns that they visited that Jesus told them to visit before. Well, and so this is the reason why we've got quite a lot of information here because these folks were like the Samaritans over there. They had to see it for themselves to believe it. They couldn't take nobody's word for it. Nobody. They wouldn't take anybody's word for it. But the reason I think that Jesus told them not to go to the Samaritans is because they were doing idolatry then. They were big in idolatry because they had moved away from what God had told them to do, and they were on this plateau kind of by themselves, and there where the town and the well was, and so they kind of lived apart from everybody else. And I don't think Jesus thought that his disciples were trained well enough at that point to undertake this idolatry thing and the leaving the true message, because Jesus was the true messenger at that time. And now when he's hearing John, they've left the water situation, and now it's the meat or the food. And so we've gone from one aspect of this to the other aspect. Well, they went down and they all come down to, I call it a lake. They call it a sea, but it's pretty deep, but it wasn't all that big. And we left off last week in verse 30. But I want to go back to John 6:26, because we need to go back and read these 4 or 5 verses to pick up on what we left on, and then we'll go from there. But I want to go to verse 26 of John 6, and if you got a companion Bible, it is the last verse on this page, but it's not the last verse in chapter 6, because 6 and 7 goes on and on. But here, the big thing now is the blessing of the food, and the disciples each got a basket. They had 4 baskets of bread. I mean, 4 loaves of bread and 2 fishes, I believe. Maybe 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes to feed 500 people. About 500 people.
That's 5,000, wasn't it?
Huh?
5,000 or
500? 5,000. 5,000 people, yeah. And so whenever they picked up the scraps, and they were specifically told to pick up the scraps. And because each disciple was going to get a basket, and I can't tell you where they got the 12 baskets at, but they may have been on the boat that they come on. They call it a ship one place and a boat in another place, but it was a paddle boat. I mean, it was a boat where you need 4 or 5 guys to run the boat. And, because they didn't have no trolling motor or anything like that then. This is way before that. So I want to go back to verse 26, and we'll read from 26 through 31, or 30 to 31. And then we'll pick up and go on from there. And it said, Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me, not because you saw the miracles, but he did miracles before they got this far, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. And Jesus kind of looked at the loaves as being a very necessary thing. You know, the food was for that number of people because they were going to be there for a while. And they're going to be there the rest of the day. And so when he, when he blessed the food, it became all they needed. All they needed. So now he's dealing with him being food, like he told the woman that he was the living water. Now he is the living food. 27, it says, labor not for the meat which perished, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. And we talked about that a little bit of about God being sealed or brought in a situation. I'll just go over this, just a quick deal. And it says, labor not for the meat which perish, but for the latter than the former. And that says, in the Greek, that is heterosis of the egrets, first appendage 6. And it talked about what these words meant. It talks about the meat there in the Greek is brosis, the act of eating, and not the real meaning of food. The real meaning of food is promo. I guess that's, if they come up with the promo tablets, that's where that probably come from.
I'd be surprised how much of English comes out of the Greek.
Yeah. Endureth equals dwelling. It says, see on abode or unto. There in the Greek is S-E-I-S. And it's not the same as an everlasting, which is, Genonius. And life there is Zoe. Which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him is the Father, hath God the Father sealed. No, him also is the Son. And he is the seal of God. God had put everything into his Son that man needed. Everything that he needed. He just hadn't done it all yet. Okay, and then verse 28. And so that's what you see in 27, because that's a pretty long sign there. It talks about them being with believers, and with believers, and with disciples. So there's three different parties here that was mentioned there. And it said, then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? So they have now been given a little more insight into 28. They're asking that. It says, we might work the works of God. In verse 29, then Jesus answered that. And he said, Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him who hath sent, whom he hath sent. So Jesus said, well, you got to believe on me. He didn't say it that way, but that's what it means. It's meant that if God sent him and he was sealed, he was all you need, all I need. The sealing is something that is done last. Even when you build a building or a house or whatever, That is the last part. Now, he's not finished with his last part here. So don't take this as being all that he's got to do, because he's still got the work to do to pay for our sins, okay, at this point. So in verse 30, is where we finished off last time, and he said, they said therefore unto him, what sign showest thou then that we may see and believe thee? What doest thou work? So here again is the Jewish situation of you got to see or hear. That in verse 30. What sign showest thou then that we may see and believe? What dost thou work? And so here is our study for today, and it goes on from 31. This part of the study now goes on from verse 26 where we started, and it runs to, let's see, it's to verse 26 as far down as the unbelievers that it deals with. And so if you got a companion Bible, if you look in it on 6:30 to 35, it deals with heavenly bread. So you have the bread that the manna that the people got in the 40-year march, got some of it in the 40-year march. But he doesn't want this compared what they got while they're on earth to the heavenly manna that's in the future, okay? And it says in 31, our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Okay, let's break that down a little. Our fathers did eat manna in the desert. And if you want to look at that, and we won't turn there for, because I used a good bit of my time tonight to catch up. But that's in Exodus 16:15. And it says over, over half a million able, for war. That was probably what they had, while they were in the 40-year march. They probably had a half a million. Because when they come across the river down there to go into the promised land, they had over a million then.
Even then, yeah.
Yeah, but see, a lot of the old folks were gone, but these were young men, and they were called men of war because they were, you know, they were all fit for, to take care of Israel. As a nation is in age. Yeah. And it says probably 3 million in all. And Numbers two, 2-3. And so you can get those two numbers out of Isaiah and out of Numbers. And it says, it was also, come from Psalm 78:24. And this was, their hope and belief, and this was the sign worked for in the days of Messiah, the former Redeemer Moses, caused manna to come down as it is written, there shall be a handful of corn in the earth in that time in Psalm 72:16. Heaven is singular. It says, see Matthew 6:9-10. So, difference in the handful of corn that was going to be there for them because they were murmuring in the wilderness. And God always withdrawed some of it when these kind of things took place. But 33 says this, for the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life into the world. Well, if you remember, when we talk about these things, God was able to provide everything for man that he needed except for an abode. God didn't build any houses. He wasn't in the carpenter business. And that may have been the reason why Christ, his father, that the people thought was his father, was in that business of doing that because he was a carpenter. And, but it says, the bread of God, he is he which cometh down from heaven, God's son, and giveth life unto the world. Lady, literally, for its inhabitants. And it's used in John to show that the Gentiles will be included in Israel's blessings. So here, Israel was being grafted in. So evidently in these open air events, these people all eat in the same place. I never thought about that too much, but the fact was this. But, you know, God did a lot of changing when Satan got involved with them in Genesis. So, things changed somewhat. And, but he did set up the cherubims at the gate of the garden. And he made that safe for the tree of life because nobody could access the tree of life, but all had food. He told Adam, said, you'll have to go out and pick and pluck it, and you may get thorns and stickers and
sweat of your brow
and all this. And by the sweat of the brow and the what you get by your hands, you know, you'll be fed. But no more going into the garden. The garden is off limits to them at that point. Because that's what they done to get kicked out of the garden, basically, in that situation. And, but my father giveth you the true bread from heaven. So we get down to verse 33. And 33 says, for the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life into the world. That's what we just mentioned. Now, verse 34. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore, give us this bread. Well, Jesus always had a way of answering a question a little differently, and because It was the fact that he was trying to explain to them that he was the bread, and it was him. He could ask God for the offer, and it would be fulfilled on everything he done, even down to his miracles and all this. All these things were seemingly in place. And it's like the baskets that I was telling you about before, where they eat and they picked up the scraps. Well, every disciple got a full basket of the leftovers. And that was to eat for their journey back. Because God had provided that, and it wasn't for anybody else but those that had seen him.
Well, it certainly wasn't for wasting. That wasn't going
on. No. But it was for those that had seen Christ. That's part of the work. You know, 34. Evermore give us this bread. And 35, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. So, when he was talking to them, I don't think there was anybody else there but his disciples and him, because they had picked Jesus up off of the swells of water, and they were immediately on dry land. Well, these other people were having to come by boat too, and they probably had some waves to deal with. In those circumstances, so frankly, all was there was Christ and his disciples. And he says, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Okay, here's your bread, here's your water. The water of the well. He told the Samaritan lady, if you drink of this, you won't need, truly, if you drink of the true water, it'll take care of your thirst from now. And the bread the same way. If you're hooked to Christ and the Holy Spirit has done this favor for these disciples, that they should now know and understand what the truth is in this situation, that anything that the disciples are asking for, he has, because he's been sealed, he has the ways of doing it. And it doesn't seem like it's any big deal to get whatever they need, but they're still not in glory now, or not anything near what they were expecting to receive with all this, because there's things still going on here. And he says in verse 36, but I say unto you, this is Christ talking, the but now, or the but I, is pretty consistent in all this, that ye shall have seen me, that ye have seen me and believe not. So there is others there now. He told them, you know, you've seen me, you've heard me, and you believe, and the Holy Spirit has done that progression, that we're now one as one. But the unbelievers, these unbelievers here now in this situation. So the bread comes from heaven, and the request of the disciples for the thing signified in the answer is in 35 and 36. I am the bread of life, and he that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I say unto you that you have seen me and believe not. So here's a little sticking point. So they've seen him, and they have witnessed miracles that he done before he ever fed them, or while all this was going on over there. But he said, "You see me, but you still don't believe." Verse 37 says, "And that the Father giveth me, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." That is verse 37. I mean 35, I'm sorry. No, 37. I'll get you right in a minute. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and he that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. And the word come there is the same as the word reach, or denoting arrival. It says, "And he that cometh," that is denoting the act and process. Okay? And to be cast out is denoting or referring to the divine supplement, to never sin away. So there are three things here in verse 37 that, you know, is talking about cometh, meaning to reach or to arrive. And also the cometh there denotes the process. And he says, "And to me I will in no wise cast out." So if you come and you're there and you see this and you believe this, then you have sealed. If you're an Israelite, then you are able to now seal that being with Christ as being a part of him in that situation. Now he says, if the Holy Spirit sends you and you see me and you believe me, you're in. Verse 38. Okay, verses 38 through 59 is, let me get back up here, really 37 through 59 is, deals with the Lord and the bread, still dealing with the Lord and the bread of life, because this is something that has a lot of depth to it, because if the Father says, "I'm your living water and I'm your bread of life,"
and all these metaphors to try to get them to understand and believe.
Yeah,
they really struggle with it.
That was signs and ways of him explaining this, because he knows that they need these things, because that's what they've been accustomed to, is looking for signs, miracles, and wonders. Okay. 38, he gets pretty explicit here. He said, "For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. How much plainer can it get if you have seen him and seen his works? And then he goes around and says, well, I came down from heaven. Well, this blowed your mind again. Because they said, wait a minute. Isn't this the carpenter's son? Don't we know him and his mother? Yeah, so, you know, even with all this, he still hasn't got him completely convinced.
Not where they need to be, yeah.
That who he was and what he needed to be.
Amen.
For I came down from heaven, let me read my notes, not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. Okay. Yeah. That sent there is Philema. Was his will. And that is, appendage 102-2 if you want to look at it. But I have written it down so I can give you that if you want to make a note of it. And then we'll get on down to 39, and 39 is about when we get through it, that's about all we'll get to tonight because we got to go to Acts 3 to do this. So, 39, and it's not a great long verse of scripture, but it's full. It's one of them pregnant verses that we talk about sometimes. And this is the Father, well, which has sent me, the Father's will, which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, or sealed in me, okay, that I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. Oh, boy. These words, as they come from his mouth, they get deeper and deeper into the understanding which they can barely hang on to begin with.
Yeah, they're already struggling.
Okay. This is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all understanding, and all there is understanding, he has given me, that I should lose nothing. And that nothing there in the Greek is the word ek, out of nothing. Not lose any of whatever he's been given. He's not going to lose any of it. What he's going to do, he is going to gain the sins of the world. He's going to gain the sins of me and you that's not even been thought about yet, other than maybe in God's mind.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so how could they understand this? You know, that I should lose it. That I would leave something behind or out, but should raise it up. And here's another one that we should. I'm going to give you, that's appendage 178, I and Roman numeral 1, at the last day. And this is an expression found only in John 5, only in the book of John 5 times. Okay, here, that's at the last day is verse 44. And 54, that's in chapter 6 now that we're in. And then chapter 11, verse 24 and 32, or 24, I think, and yeah, and 32. Or no, in chapter 12, 48. I'm sorry, I can't read my own writing.
Well, it's actually John 11. You're right. John 11, 24 and chapter 12, 48.
Yeah. In 1 John 2:18. It refers to the coming of Messiah and was used, it was a used idiom, particularly for the age to come at the end of that dispensation. It would then have taken place and Israel would have repented. But here it says, Acts 3:17-26. I want to ask you to go with me to Acts 3. Let's see if I can find it now again. Acts 3:17. Okay. And we're going to read from 17-26, or yeah, 17. And now, brother, I want that though through ignorance you did it, as did also your rulers, showed by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. But the things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he hath fulfilled. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Christ Jesus, which before was preached unto you. Full stop. Whom the heavens must receive until the times of restitution of all things which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets, not before the world began, but since.
Very important.
The world began. Since the world began. For Moses truly said unto the Father, Father, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren. Okay. He was supposed to come back of the brother. He wasn't. Yeah. This is the way that God chose to put him back in place.
It was going to be out of the nation of Israel.
It was going to be out of the nation of Israel, and he was to come through a woman that knowed no man. Like unto me, him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. It doesn't say there that you got to see it. He says you need to hear it, because one way or the other, this is how he chose to get it across. And Christ is doing it both ways. But now he's brought it down to a sense of hearing again. Verse 23. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. So this seeing is not so much important as hearing. Because hearing will get you destroyed if you don't believe what you heard. That is the power of the Word of God through His Son and given into our bodies by the Holy Spirit, that we may hear it and know what's been said, that we can act upon the works that God wants mankind to do, regardless of who He is. Yes. And all the prophets from Samuel. Well, I guess we know who prophet number one is.
Well, from Samuel on.
Yeah.
Spoke of him, but that's pretty plain.
And all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days.
The very days.
Very day that Christ is there.
If that's Peter talking, he's talking about the days and the times right there in Acts chapter 3, yeah. Early Acts.
Yeah. We are the children of the prophets and of the covenant or the agreement which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindred of the earth be blessed. Well, who did he leave out? I didn't see that he left nobody out there. But the fact is, there was a way made in this new covenant that we haven't seen yet, because we haven't got through the book of Acts yet. Here we are in Acts talking about this thing and being given stuff that they couldn't understand then. And evidently in Acts 28:28, they still didn't understand it. But what's going to be their fate? And in thy seed shall all the kindred of the earth be blessed. And it said, unto you first, God having raised up his son Jesus, he sent him to bless you and turning away every one of you from his iniquities. Verse 26, let's see. Iniquity there is gonorrhea. Appendage 1:28-1. And kindreds there, when he talks about kindreds in verse 25, that is families, patria. And only here in Luke and Ephesians, in the earth, it says, kindreds of the earth. And the earth is the little word G, G-E. Okay. So when we go back and we look at all these things that the people broke down that had been foretold, and so it wasn't a big secret, because it was already in writ. He shall hear, and all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. Boy, when God speaks, you know you better believe it. Now, I heard God speak more than one time, and I didn't believe it. I didn't act upon my belief. But I know a little lady that said her prayers, and I heard them prayers, and I heard that. So not only had read it, but I heard it from my wife too. And that was another thing that I couldn't get away from. This thing early in Luke and early in John, in Luke there it was God gathering up his disciples, and it seemed like that wasn't a big deal, but it was. It was a big deal. And also realizing that he had been sealed. And the only thing left in that sealing was the sins of the world. Now that's a big deal. Now that is a big, big deal. Because he went to the cross and he paid the price for everybody if they will accept him. You, of course, some would not accept it. But yet, the price had been paid. And the way was made possible through the Holy Spirit to get to the Son. That's not a secret now.
Amen.
But the fact is, it's exactly what was needed in that day, in that new covenant, for us to get to where we are now, where we sit today. None of that was a secret. It was just not believed, basically, because you got to believe what God says when he says it.
That's where faith comes from.
And a lot of times, it says in Scripture that sometimes the Holy Spirit can't get through to us. But in time, if God knows the beginning from the end, then in time you will gather that knowledge together, become a believer, to know and to realize these things. And we need to go back and read them too. He gives us understanding, because there was a lot of those folks that didn't believe either. So we're sitting here looking around and realizing there's some of our own families not believers yet. And so that's something that we need to really get involved with if we can. So the old clock on the wall says I'm out of town. And so Well, probably if I got to there, that'd be a good stopping point. And so we'll pick up back there the next time, God willing. And I'll make me a little mark there where I'll know where I had got to on the 14th. And 7 more days would be, I guess, 21 with it. So, maybe the third week already spent, if we make it that far.
Yeah, the year's getting gone, that's for sure.
And God bless. I appreciate you being with me. And, we'll take it on, because this is stuff that needs to be refreshed in our minds, that we need to continue with. Because if these people have read scripture and tried to come up with some things that deals with times, if they're anywhere close, we need to make that effort on behalf of our own folks and others that we know that are not believers also.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least we understand that. So God bless. And thank you for your time. And thank you for the privilege of bringing it to you.